Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World. You know, Landon, that still rankles me.
I know. I don't think you're ever going to get over it, Jim. I don't know.
I don't think I ever am. He's Landon Tangwall. I'm Jim Galante. This is Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Got to check them out. As y'all know, that's where I bought my great Honda CR-V, but they have a great inventory of new vehicles, whatever you need, including the 2024 Honda Civic, with financing rates as low as 3.9%, an amazing selection of pre-owned vehicles also. Check them out at the showroom on West College Avenue or online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Great place to get your Honda. How are we doing this week, Landon?
Doing fantastic, Jim. I'm excited to get in this one. We always send each other a lot of notes back and forth, so it's fun when we get to talk about some of the stuff we text back and forth about.
It really is. And since we've started this show, we're not restricted to just Penn State football. We could talk about anything we like. Some folks are going to start thinking it's the Caitlin Clark show because it just shows you a little bit about her popularity and how much we're being talking about her. I almost feel like these other WNBA players are being the way they are just so they can create even more news. They're playing the long game here, Landon.
Listen, I know, Jim. And I said to you the other day, I said, look, we have to talk about Caitlin Clark again. We've talked about her we've kind of had a segment on every episode so far, but we can't not talk about it. She just got left off of the women's Olympic team for this coming summer. And it's kind of, you know, I think there is a side of it. Hey, she's a rookie. She just got here. She, you know, was whatever, a couple weeks into her WNBA career. You know, she really never got a break because she went from the college season right into the WNBA season. So that would be, you know, nice for her to have that time off when they're playing in the Olympics where she can rest. So I do get all that. There is that argument for it. But on the other flip side, I have to just lift, I'm going to rattle off some stats from what Caitlin Clark has done for women's basketball from a viewership standpoint, just basic eyeballs, which is the biggest thing in this world. You know, her first game against the Connecticut Sun peaked at 2.3 million viewers, which is the most, I believe, ever for a WNBA game. The next closest was in 2001 with around 2.2. It was Diana Taurasi, who was kind of a WNBA legend. She had a lot, but this is the most ever. So we got that. And then I want to list off these stats from, I believe this is from about a week or two weekends ago, but just kind of gives you an idea of the people that Caitlin Clark brings to games. So this is the attendance for non-Caitlin Clark WNBA games. So it can be anybody except Caitlin Clark games. We got 7,000, 4,000, 9,000, 7,000, 3,000, 7,000, 10,000. For those same weekends, the two games that Caitlin Clark played in, 17,000 and 17,000. So, you know, almost more than double a lot of these, more than triple a lot of the attendance of other games. So I think there is a clear... there should be a clear fight to get her on there. I know, you know, it's the Olympics, so they won't struggle as much. People are going to tune in because it's the Olympics and people, you know, want to watch their country do well. But, Jim, it kind of makes me scratch my head when you have someone, you know, those stats I just gave off. I also saw that floor seats, I believe it was in Arizona or L.A., one of those two. It wasn't Cameron Brink and the L.A. team, but I believe it was Arizona. And this dude went on TikTok and he was talking about how he said floor seats are 150 max for every WNBA game I've seen. Floor seats for when the Indiana Fever were coming to town, $1,500.
Oh my goodness. And here's the thing. There's other sports that don't need the attention. They already have it. The WNBA and women's basketball in general, they've been complaining for years. No one watches us. We don't get enough money. We don't get the charter flights. We don't get paid enough, all of that. if you understand that the key to all those things, Landon, is getting, just like you said, the eyeballs on you. And I'll give you some numbers that I looked up when we were talking about this. And I thought, well, on the Olympic team, just how good are the Americans? How well have they played? How have they done success-wise? Because quite candidly, I am the typical sports fan. I haven't really paid attention to the women's basketball in the Olympics, nor in the WNBA. Now, with the conversations with Caitlin Clark, I think a lot more people would watch them. And by the way, the women's Olympic team has not lost a game since 1992. 1992, Landon. And if you go back even further, they're 69-1 over the last 10 Olympics. That goes back 40 years. So I hardly think having Caitlin Clark on the team is going to make them risk losing more games, okay? What it will do, the main thing having Caitlin Clark on that team will do, is bring eyeballs to the game. And if you bring eyeballs to the game and there are other women players who are better than Caitlin Clark, guess what? More people will get to see that. Now, there's going to be a boatload of people who are not going to watch it because Caitlin Clark's not there.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jim. I said that to my girlfriend the other day. I said, look, I was kind of made a little argument. I said, I would have tuned in. I would have put on one of the Olympic games if Caitlin Clark was in there. She's not there. I'm not going to turn it on. I'm just being honest. And I think that is the majority of America, if we're just being honest. And I think, you know, you look at it from, and you know, is she the best player in the WNBA right now? I don't think so at the moment, because we realize how hard that transition is. Will she be there very shortly? I think so. But, you know, I look at it from a standpoint of having someone, you know, leagues are always looking for, no matter if it's the NFL, NBA, NH, I mean, it doesn't matter. They are looking for essentially a mascot. You want that Patrick Mahomes. You want that LeBron James. I mean, leagues, they crave that. So that's why I don't understand. And, you know, Brady for so long, the league protects those type of people. I mean, the league has protected LeBron James. They do as much stuff as possible to help out these big time superstars that represent their league. So it's just not really making sense to me why Caitlin Clark is not getting that support. And it's not, you know, it feels like it's not coming from the refs. It's not coming from the league. It's not coming from her team. And that's honestly been one of the biggest things I've seen that has been talked about, is guys, you know, saying, like Paul Pierce said this. He said, you know, hey, I don't have a problem with her getting pushed around on the field. She's a superstar rookie. People are going to go after her. But my problem is, where are her teammates? Why are they not coming up just ready to punch someone in the face? I mean, if someone messed with Kobe, Pau Gasol was in there in an instant. You know, it's just, you know, if someone messes with Steph Curry, Draymond Green in their grill instantly. I just don't get why, you know, that's not the case with Caitlin Clark. It seems like, and I saw a video actually of, they were doing like a warm-up dance, her, the Indiana Fever, and she seemed completely uninterested in it and not really involved in the team activities. So I don't know. I think there could definitely be some spite that'll grow. And I'd be really sad to see someone as generationally talented as Caitlin Clark be kind of messed up slash like ruined because the WNBA and her and the fans and the players on her team don't want to embrace her. I think that'd be incredibly silly of the sport to make that mistake.
It is. And I'll go after it a little bit different. I don't know if she will become the best player. I'm not sure what her level, what her ceiling is. Here's what I do know though, Landon. Right now, she is not only the most popular female basketball player, she might be the most popular athlete in the country. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you compared her to some very outstanding players, you know, players like Patrick Mahomes and LeBron James and Tom Brady. And as I said, my take on it is I use kind of the Tiger Woods example, or the Williams sisters in tennis, that they're like a generational personality or a generational icon. And it may not be completely about talent. It's personality, or for whatever reason it is, And I don't care what that is. If you're the WNBA and fellow players, coaches, administrative people, ride that pony. You know, she's the one who's going to bring eyeballs. And the part you brought up about the teammates is, I don't care what they think of her. I don't care if they hate her. You've played more, a much higher level of organized sports than I ever had, Landon. But I would guess that you would back me up on this. I don't care if there's a player on my team that I hate. If he gets into it, or somebody gets into it with him from the opposing team, I'm racing to defend my teammate. Why? Because they're my teammate.
Absolutely, Jim. You're dead on. You took the words right out of my mouth. I'm 100% in that. And that's every team. Not everybody likes each other. And of course, you know, I got along with all my teammates, but there's always a couple guys that you're not super fond of. And you're absolutely right. I would go over in an instant and flying jump punch someone in the face if I need to, man. If they're getting into a scruffle and I got to defend them, you're absolutely right. It's ridiculous to me, the lack of protection. And you know, you look at how Brady was treated for so long, where everybody would talk about, I mean, the refs would just cater towards him. And there's a reason for that. When you're the poster boy or poster girl in this case, you get things. That's how it works. You know, you look, there's a famous clip that goes around social media all the time of a referee, and it's like the late 90s. I think it's actually when MJ is on the Wizards. So it might even be like 2000, 2001. And he comes up and he goes, hey, Michael, you know, I called that one, I didn't call that one. What do you think? And he goes, no, he hit me. Michael's like, he hit me. No, you need to call that. And he goes, oh, okay, you're right, Michael, you're right. And I'll have to put it out on Twitter. But, I mean, it is like when you are the poster boy, you get the love. You get to call the shots, and the refs, you know, the refs, the league, and your team, they protect you. So I just think that needs an emphasis that needs to be put on to help Caitlin Clark succeed and help the rest of the WNBA succeed. Because I don't – like I said, I think – there's going to be a huge lack of eyeballs and just viewership in total that's taken away from the Olympic team that they would have had, even if they just put Caitlin Clark on the bench. Just let her be on the bench, let her have a couple minutes, that's fine. People are still going to tune in so much more than they would if she wasn't there at all.
I agree 100%. And as we wrap up this segment, I'm going to give you a heads up on, here's the question I'm going to ask you to start the second segment, Landon. I'm going to ask you, what does the fact that these are women have to do with this situation? I am looking to get you in trouble, my friend, and I'm going to do it with that question when we return after this break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon Tenglaw. I'm Jim Galante. And before we wrap up our Caitlin Clark discussion, which we had in the first segment, as promised, I'm going to ask you the question. Now, you and I talked about it. You much further along in the sports world playing big-time college football. I just made it through, you know, high school sports and, you know, pick up friend sports, city leagues, that kind of thing. But you always, always race to the defense of your teammate. That's not happening for Caitlin Clark. How much has that to do with, Landon, that they're women instead of men?
Oh my God! Do you guys hear this? He's trying to set me up. He's teeing me up like a T-ball shot to get me just absolutely canceled off air. No, you know, I think this is, at the end of the day, I think one of really the only women's sports that sees a ton of action or just as much as the men is women's tennis. Outside of women's tennis, I think for the most part, there's really not that much viewership for women's sports. So this is obviously something that's new, and I think it's great. I think everybody can agree it is great. It is awesome for even our young ladies to have, you know, superstars to look up to like Caitlin Clark. I bet you so much money there are tons of young girls that are wanting to play basketball because of Caitlin Clark. So, I think we need to just continue on that trend of lifting it up instead of, I mean, it's just constant. Like, I just see these headlines and people saying things about Caitlin Clark, and it's not even like she says anything, Jim. She literally keeps her head down, and she is the most, you know, she just undistracted, you know, fairly humble for, like you said, being probably the biggest athlete in the world right now. I mean, obviously more people know who LeBron is, but who's the hotter athlete right now, LeBron or Caitlin Clark? I would go with Caitlin Clark. So, you know, I think it's one of those things that this needs to be lifted up by everybody. And I, you know, to answer your question, I won't fully dodge it, but it seems like all the men are lifting Caitlin Clark up. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it at that. I think we're doing our job, Jim. I'm just going to leave it at that. I think there could be a little bit more support from a lot of people, though.
And to just condense your answer, essentially you're saying it's always the fault of women, and all her teammates are a word that rhymes with witches. what you're saying, Landon?
I don't know if I could back that one up, Jim. I don't know if I could solidify that statement. But, well, I will put this out there. I think we need more support from our women counterparts. Support it. Get out there. Watch more games. Support Caitlin Clark. Support everybody. But I think that's how you get a big chunk of the viewership to go up. I think a lot of the viewership, I will say this, I think a huge chunk of this viewership that's coming over, I would say, is a majority NBA fans that are watching the WNBA, not just people tuning into the WNBA that haven't tuned into the NBA. I think it's a lot, and I'd say that number is probably close to, you know, I have no clue, but I would guess it's more majority men that are coming over and watching the WNBA now than it is, you know, new women that haven't watched basketball before that are now watching. I will give you that. That is my stance on it. Not that I have any for sure numbers to back that up, but I that's kind of my feel of the situation.
Well, just anecdotally, I for years have said, when I've heard the WNBA players complaining and women complaining about in general about the WNBA players not making enough money, I said, it's on you. Women, go watch and play. Ironically, now with what's going on and some of the things you and I are doing, I find myself, I'm watching more women's sports than I did previously. I watched none of the men's College World Series, none. I watched the women's softball World Series, though, and it was fantastic, Landon. It was. So I agree with you. Now, to get both of us out of trouble here before we say something we really shouldn't, let's segue on. It seems like we've established in our first couple weeks in doing this show that we go into a history lesson. Mm. 2 weeks ago, or first of all, last week, you talked about Larry Allen, who unfortunately passed away, but it led to a bit of a history lesson for the younger fans who didn't remember him. Your admiration for him led us to go down that path and talk about what a great player he was. A couple weeks ago, it was Bill Walton who passed away, and he was one of my favorite players, and I gave some background on Bill Walton. Now, Landon, I'm going to tie things together a bit. We've been talking about Caitlin Clark not being chosen for the women's Olympic team, and I mentioned earlier they've been undefeated since 1992. And it reminded me of the men's Olympic basketball team. And I'm going to give you, as a youngster, a little bit of a history lesson. Back then, there was a time there were no professional athletes in the Olympics. None. Okay. So when the Olympic basketball team played, it was all collegiate players. Now, behind the Iron Curtain, if you don't remember what that is, that's the Soviet Union and their satellite countries. They wouldn't allow their players to come to the U.S. and play in the NBA. So they had men, literally, they were professionals, but they gave them jobs as soldiers or whatever. But they, in essence, were professionals. So they kind of got around this whole no professionals in the Olympics, that you had to be amateurs. So they had guys, they had, you know, 28-year-old, 30-year-old players playing against the 19- and 20-year-old men's Olympians. But basketball was such an American sport, didn't matter. The Americans would win every year until 1972. They had not lost a game at the Olympics and won gold every time, obviously. They played the Russians in the finals. And as the game ran out the time, Doug Collins, who you might remember as an NBA coach or his son, okay, he was in college at the time. He made two free throws with 3 seconds to go in the game to put the U.S. team ahead by 1 point. The Russians then literally got three tries at it with that 3 seconds to go. They inbounded the ball, got it like halfway up court. The clock went from three down to one, and one of the Russian assistants comes over screaming that they had asked for a timeout, and they weren't given that. Now, they weren't allowed to call a timeout after the second foul shot. They said they had asked for one after the first foul shot and didn't get it. They gather an executive from like the international basketball, actually comes down from the stand. He makes the ruling, which is not his place to do. The clock had gone down to 1 second. They put the time back on, put it to 3 seconds again, had him replay it. Again, they don't score. The U.S. team celebrates. Everyone thinks it's over. The announcers, hold on, hold on. They found another reason why there was a problem, gave them a third chance. And at this point, the Americans had said afterwards, and they were asked, why didn't you just walk off the court at that point? Well, there were so many people from executives for the Olympics, from the Russians and their satellite countries, they were afraid that they would get overruled, be called forfeiting the game. They went out there for a third time. And I just read about this today. Tom McMillan, who was actually a Pennsylvania boy, he was about 6'10", 6'11", who had been up on the guy taking the ball out. The official kind of pushed him back, said give him more space, which there was no reason why he needed to. But he did, gave the guy a little more space, throws it the length of the court. The big Russian center gets it, lays it in. Russia wins the game.
Wow, I never heard that one. Russia, man. I guess we were always fighting with Russia back then, huh, Jim?
It was.
Bad blood.
The Americans kind of got back about, you know, 8 years later or 10 years later with the Miracle on Ice. Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar.
Do you that believe in miracles?
Yeah.
Now, where I will tie this story in with our other stories was Bill Walton was in college at that time and was head and shoulders above everybody else, was the best player in the collegiate game at that point. He chose not to play in that Olympics, or it probably would have not even been that close, Landon. So it was one of the most controversial games ever in the history of sports, let alone basketball.
Dang, that's – yeah, that reminds me – well, first off, I'm finishing up on the Olympics. I do know I got some good background on the 1992 Dream Team just because of The Last Dance, which I think – it's on Netflix, where it's the Bulls documentary that I think is one of – not even just sports. I think it's one of the best documentaries of all time. So if you haven't seen that, it came out during COVID. Absolutely fantastically. It's very well done. There's that. And then I don't know. You remember the 2008, they called it the 2008 Redeem Team. Cause I believe in 2004 they lost, or maybe I think they might've gotten silver in 2004. And that's why it was like, and then not that many people played. So it kind of, the pendulum kind of swung back. I believe like 2000, 2004, not as many guys were playing. They kind of got away from it. So that's why they came back 2008. They called it the 2008 Redeem Team. I mean, it was everybody, LeBron, Carmelo, Kobe, everybody you could think of at the time. I think Nash might have been on the team. That's when Vince Carter fully jumped over someone and dunked over them. I mean, completely cleared them. Crazy team. So, yeah, we have some good history in the Olympics. So, hopefully, we have a I've seen some of the list for this year and kind of who's going to play. But I think we'll handle that very, very candidly. We'll be all right.
But and it'll segue in that how basketball has become an international game. And we're going to talk about that more in the next segment. But it does, I think, what is lost in these Olympics, and No, I am not asking for us to go back in history to the Cold War days, okay? But during that time, it actually was a rivalry during the Olympics. So if you could get an American against a Russian or even one of their satellite countries, these other communist countries, it was more important than just sports. It was almost like a political statement. And I just, in reading up in that 72 game, Russian game that I was talking about, the U.S. protested afterwards, put it in the official protest, and there was a 5-man committee who judges these protests. 3 of the 5 came from communist countries. Guess, 3 from communist countries, 2 not. How do you think the vote went in that protest?
Well, I would imagine the majority.
It went three to two.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what you could expect. So, you know, even though in hindsight, as Americans, we can say how wrong it was, boy, it made the Olympics more interesting and more fun, because it's like, you want to beat those dirty Russians, Landon. You want to beat the commies. All right, that's it for this segment. We got lots more to go when we come back in quarter number 3.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. You know what? Before I became a spokesman for Bobby Rahal Honda, I was a customer. That's where I bought my beautiful 2024 Honda CR-V. Got a great deal there. I'm not even from State College. I live 90 miles away. It was worth it for me to travel to get there. Great deal, great selling experience. Everything was wonderful. If you want to be part of the Bobby Rahal sales experience too, just visit the showroom on West College Avenue, or you could go online to BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Check out their great inventory of new Hondas. They also have a whole bunch of used cars too, if that's what you're interested in. All right, Landon, we had some fun in quarter number 2 talking about those lousy commies and the basketball game in 1972, where if you're old enough to be from my generation, you remember that game. But you and I started talking between segments that there's a lot of these kind of games in sports that they're crazy endings, the rulings. There's games like that, but you know what? They're memorable, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It is, you know, the fans, whether it's good or bad, if it went against your team or went for your team, it is something you're always going to remember. And that's when you started talking about, you told me the story about when we played the Russians in 72. Well, that reminded me that I've watched a couple videos on this that is called the fifth down game. And basically what happened was it was the Colorado Buffaloes long before Deion Sanders made his way over there. They played Missouri. And basically what happened was they got down to the goal line. Colorado had the ball. And they, at some point, I believe it was first going in the second down, they did not change the down markers. They ran the play, didn't change it. It stayed the same, basically allowing Colorado to then have a fifth down at the end. It got down to fourth and goal. They got stuffed, but really it said third down on the field when they had already run 4 downs. So, you know, a lot of fans are still salty about that one, October 6, 1990. But I thought a fun fact about this, when I just went to look this up and just pull it up on my screen when it popped into my brain, there is a bar in Columbia, Missouri. So the team that got, it's funny you mentioned that, the team that lost the game because of the fifth down has a bar called the Fifth Down Bar and Grill in Missouri. So I, whatever fan that is, I don't know, maybe that's a Colorado fan that wanted to come in and troll the Missouri fan. But someone's playing a joke, or someone took a joke well, because I thought that was really funny that the team that lost because of the fifth down now has a bar and grill named after that game.
That's fantastic. I would think if it were Colorado person trolling the Missouri fans, that place would close up shop very quickly.
Yeah.
And here's what is great about sports and the history of sports, Landon. And you and I are both, we're from different generations, but we both love the history of sports. One story always leads to another. And this may as well be one of our conversations one-on-one when we go out to lunch. We keep doing this. Well, your story about Colorado beating Missouri, it reminds me of one of, if not the greatest finish to a Penn State football game that I think is long forgotten. If you want to talk about the greatest last play, there was the Penn State-Iowa, you know, walk-off touchdown a few years back. But I'm going to go all the way back to 1969, Landon. Penn State had back-to-back undefeated years where they went to the Orange Bowl, they won that, and they finished, they didn't even finish ranked second. They were like fourth or fifth in the country. That's how little respect Eastern football had at the time. But they were playing Kansas in the Orange Bowl. They were down 14-7, and they scored a touchdown late in the game. Now, back then, there was no overtime. There was a tie game. So Penn State, they kicked the extra point. They still have an undefeated season, just marked with a tie. Well, Joe Paterno, and another reason why to admire Joe, he wasn't going to go quietly with a tie. He went for it on fourth down. They didn't make it. Penalty flag down, though. Kansas had 12 men on the field. So they got to try it again, and they made it to win the game 15-14. But the interesting thing, and I've never confirmed this, but I've read this in multiple places, that people have gone back and watched the tape of the last drive for Penn State. And Kansas had 12 men on the field pretty much for the entire last drive.
Hey, I guess if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I guess whatever coach for Kansas was at the time, I guess that's the motto he lived by.
Yes, but is that not a wild finish? And again, I think it's – I realize how long ago that was. It was 50 years ago. So I understand if people don't remember it, but that's history. Yeah. That I think young fans should learn about with Penn State football.
That is wild. I never heard of that ending. Obviously, you hear about the, you know, the 82 ending and those other ones, but that is, it's really interesting. That's actually, I'm sure that might be part of the reason why I'm assuming this wasn't really a job for any of the refs back then. They kind of just had to notice it, but it is every single play, the back judge counts each side, you know, whoever's all the way behind the offense and then whoever's all the way behind the defense. They will count each player before every single snap. Really, anytime there's substitutions made, they will count that out to make sure that there's 11 people on the field or less.
I was not aware that they didn't do that in practice. And that's probably just in practice, you know, that how the officials are trained. It was probably back then, just like you said, you know, you had to notice it. Or a team's got away with it, as apparently Kansas did through all that. Anyway, Landon, I want to bring up another thing because it's pretty relevant to fans here in Pennsylvania. And over the weekend, my Mets and the Phillies, they played an international game. They played a two-game series in London. And the question I got over and over again was, why in the world were they doing that? And coming up, the NFL's been doing that. They've got a game coming up, I guess, in Brazil this year. So why are all these American professional leagues playing games internationally?
Yeah, I'll give you an easy answer, right? I mean, obviously the answer is they want to get outreach. They want to reach other audiences. You know, you look at soccer teams around the nation, like Real Madrid, You look how many, you know, followers Real Madrid has on Instagram versus how many followers the Patriots have. I mean, they have like doubled, almost tripled the amount of followers. I mean, there are so many just eyeballs elsewhere. And I think we're kind of tapped out as far as the NBA and NFL in America. I think they have pretty much everybody that wants to watch is going to watch. So I think they're starting to kind of trickle over to Europe, to Africa, all these other places. And the reason I would point to that too is I've seen this from multiple sources. The top, if you look at the top five projected NBA draft picks for next year, at least the one that CBS did, four of the top five are non-American citizens that are supposed to go. So, you know, you look at that, you say, hey, you look at Luka Doncic right now. I mean, there's, you know, Kristaps Porzingis is on that team. There's a lot of guys that are not born in America that are absolutely balling out. I mean, obviously, Victor Wembanyama is going to be the face of the league. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like, hey, let's go over there. Let's start looking for talent over there. And I know that there's a lot of NFL NFL/USA football initiatives to go over to those places all over the country and get guys, have combines and get eyes on these guys. And I know that actually Penn State, when we do camps right in this time, right in June, I forget, there was a couple times that they had planes coming over from Europe and we would come in and we'd do measurements of the kids and, you know, do their bench press. And I remember there's a huge group that came in all from different schools. And I'm asking, you know, you always ask, hey, where are you from? And they're talking about all over in Europe and Africa and all these different places. So there is a clear initiative by just sports in general in America to, hey, let's branch out. Let's get these other people involved, not only from a viewership standpoint, but also athletes are absolutely amazing over there and sometimes better than over here.
And, you know, the NBA is probably the poster child for a sport that really promoted themselves internationally and had it pay off. You mentioned the number of players, and it's why the Olympics, it's not a walkover anymore for the men's Olympic basketball team. There are so many good international teams. But do you know how many eyeballs there are in China? Okay.
Yeah.
And do you know how many sneakers they buy over there? Yep. And that is why it is a financial boon to the sports to become popular internationally. And that is the answer. Now, baseball itself is already pretty popular. We know through Latin America, we know in Asia, Japan, you know, Ohtani is the best, you know, baseball player on the planet. And there are more Japanese players that are coming in making headway. It's very good for the entire sport to have that international following. So that's why you see baseball games in London and why we're going to see this fall, my very own Eagles are going to be playing the Packers in Brazil, Landon.
It should be interesting. And there's been some headlines that have come out about this game recently that I am really interested to see how it shakes out. These are just reports, and I don't know if they're really confirmed, but it's been all over social media that because of, you know, gang colors and gang activity, that neither team can wear the color green. And you just mentioned we have the Packers and we have the Eagles. So, number one, I am not sure at all how that works. That I also saw reports that the teams will take essentially armored/true motorcades. I mean, they have motorcades here, but that's really just for traffic. I mean, they're talking about motorcades as far as making sure they're safe and a lot of people with guns around them, you know, army, all that stuff. My question is, why even kind of trickle into that environment? If we have to dance around it that much and be that safe, I don't know. I don't want to put Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley in that type of environment. And then also, you know, if my question is, do they not allow green at all in the stadium? I think, you know, when you bring two teams that are green down to a place where you say, you know, green is clearly a symbol of a gang sign in a place, there's going to be a lot of fans coming down wearing some their Kelly Green jerseys, Jim. I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's great. I'm glad that there is a push to get out there, but I don't know if I like that exact destination if it's that unsafe for two NFL football teams to be going to.
Well, I think at least they would be safe to wear their green inside the stadium. And I suspect the players are going to be really, really well protected. What I wonder about are the fans. I'm going to have one last comment about that when we come back for quarter four, Landon.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone. I knew I was going to do that one of these times.
I didn't realize right at first. No, I didn't even realize.
I've been doing it for years. You got to cut me some slack. Welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. Oh, I knew it was going to happen sometime, Landon. I guess today is the day. And I made it all the way to the fourth quarter before making that mistake. I guess I was just too anxious to finish our conversation we were having about the Packers and the Eagles going to Brazil. And the advice, at least to the players, was don't wear green because there could be some conflict with gangs if you wear green. And I mentioned this to you before. My question is, if you're the Philly fans from the Philadelphia, the Eagles fans, wearing green versus some violent gangs from Brazil, I'm not sure I wouldn't put my money on the Philly fans in that kind of matchup, Landon.
Jim, I've seen so many fight videos of people at the link. I don't know, man. I think I'm right there with you. And I think you guys have an army over there in Philly that could handle them pretty candidly. So, you know, I don't know. I think they'll be safe. But I am curious to see how this goes down. And I mean, I just think it kind of sucks for the players. I think it is an opportunity to go somewhere really cool. And if you take them somewhere that has a super high crime rate and, you know, you're that worried, I just, you know, how much stuff are they able to go do? I think that's a big part, you know, big part of going to London. A lot, they go out at least a week, six to seven days in advance. A lot of guys fly their families out. They have free time. They get to experience this type of stuff. I don't know if that is the true environment down there. Honestly, I haven't done a lot of research. This could be blown out of proportion. But if that is the true scenario of the environment down there, I don't really think I want to bring my family down there either, Jim, if I'm a player. So, you know, I think they could have went somewhere, even in, you know, Central or South America, that's a little more lucrative slash safe. But, hey, you know, the NFL, they're doing a good job getting that out there and getting outreach. So, you know, definitely applaud to them. But it should be interesting to see how this shakes out and see, you know, maybe it comes down to the team say, hey, we're not doing this. We'll play at a neutral site somewhere else. We're keeping our guys safe.
Well, I'll tell you what. Speaking of going into a war zone, I'm a guy who has gone into old veteran stadium wearing Mets gear. So I understand what the violence is like. All right, let's segue to this. We're talking about some of these international games. And you and I had talked about this with the Mets and Phillies playing in London, special games. It was the networks broadcast them, ESPN specifically. They're the ones who like to do this. They'll put a mic on players, and it's not like, hey, they're mic'd up, just the mic is on them, and maybe between innings they'll play something that they recorded that was interesting. They actually interview the player while they were live playing the game. Now, we had over the weekend Francisco Lindor from the Mets being interviewed when a ball was hit to them. Then later in another game, I didn't see it live. You had mentioned it to me. The same thing happened with the Yankees-Dodgers game, the Dodger third baseman. They were interviewing live, and he made an error while he was being interviewed.
Yeah.
If I'm the Dodgers, I am not very happy about this going on.
No, I'm not. Yeah, it was Enrique Hernandez, I think, is the Dodgers' third baseman. And yeah, it was a nice, I mean, it was just right on the ground. It wasn't exactly a hard ball to field, and he just completely missed it, bobbled it, and the guy got to first, and he was safe because he bobbled it. And I, you know, and not only, if you go watch the clip, it's on my Twitter. I just recently posted it, but just look it up if you want to hear what we're talking about. I mean, not only they see that the ball is coming towards him, and the guy that's interviewing him, the announcer, he doesn't just shut up. He says, "Oh, we'll ask you in 1 second," as he's fielding the ball. So instead of just being quiet in his ear, he's like, "Oh, and we'll get to that question in 1 second while he plays the game." And then he drops it. It's like, dude, come on. You got it. You can't be doing that. I saw a couple things about MLB players, and I'm sure it's part of their CBA that they had to sign, and they're kind of like their player association. They agree to terms on all that stuff. And they have a very favorable, as far as how they're taken care of, let's say compared to the NFLPA or how the NBA Player Association is taken care of. I mean, NFL is pretty much at the bottom, and baseball is at the top as far as how they're paid, guaranteed money, you know, no salary caps, all that stuff. It is very favorable for the player more so than the team in the MLB. But this is something that I just can't get behind. I think I even think the coaches' interviews that started to happen maybe 10, 15 years ago going into halftime, I don't like that because it's not even real. First off, you ask the coaches one question, and normally it's like a pissed off Nick Saban or James Franklin, and they say two words, and it's like, wow, that really, you know, that was really helpful. We really got a lot of info out of that one. So I'm not a big fan of all of that. I think interviews are for before the game and after the game. So I'm, you know, that's my stance on it, Jim.
I'm with you on it. And I'll even give you a couple more reasons. When was the last time one of these interviews actually told you something? And the question during that Dodgers game where the player muffed the ground ball, which, by the way, he said had nothing to do with the interview, but they were asking him, gee, you've got all these stars on the team, yet they seem to get along so well. Tell me about that. It is the softball question of softball questions. It's ridiculous. And the other point, you mentioned the football coaches at halftime with those interviews. You know, sometimes they do the live interview with the one coach, and then later on they report, well, I talked to this coach and I asked him this and he said that. And one of the reporters said, she makes up the answer. She makes it up. Because the coach didn't want to talk to her. And, you know, the fact is, it didn't matter because there was no real answer. Here, you know what, Landon? I'm going to save time for all the TV folks. Here's the answer. I don't care what the question is. Here's the answer. Well, we got to keep playing hard. It's a 60-minute game. We got to keep taking it one play at a time. And work hard, and if we can score more points and hold them back, Landon, I think we have a chance to win.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the coaches, and they'll say, you know, yeah, I think if we stop them on defense and then score points on offense, I think we'll win. It's like, thanks, coach, appreciate it. I think this one is legendary in everybody's mind, though. That is a solidified meme around the internet. I believe this was post-game, though. But the legendary Nick Saban, when they are on the field and they ask him, it was about the Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts at the time and how, Tua came in at Alabama and replaced him. And they were asking him at the end of this, you know, this big game that they won, you know, what is he going to do, et cetera. And he says, I'm not going to answer. So quit asking. And, that's like it's a legendary Nick Saban. People use that for a variety of things, even outside of sports and football. So I think from time to time, we do get some really funny clips of these coaches, but yeah, as a whole, man, I'm not into this interviewing, mid play or mid game. Let's save it for afterwards. And I will say this, no offense to anybody. I think I can say this because I now am a media member, but I feel like there's certain people that I'll see in my comment section and they'll say, what do you mean, man? This is great. We get insight like never before. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, the players are just annoyed. And I mean, I can't even fathom having to do that mid-game and answer questions. I know everybody would be so angry. So you can't always think about what it's good for the fan or good for the game. Let's think about the player a little bit here, Jim.
And what I don't mind, though, is when they mic a guy up They don't talk to him. They don't interview him. They just have the mics there. And then they could cherry pick great quotes. And there are certain players, and I'm sure you could tell, and that would be a fun question, Landon, who should be mic'd up on the Penn State football team for during a game, so that who are the guys who would say the most fun things either on the sideline or on the field itself, say in a huddle? To me, that could be interesting.
Yeah, we need to do college mic'd up. That's got to be coming with everything, you know, NFL, you know, college football basically becoming NFL at this point. I'd say that that's kind of where we're headed. But we need college football mic'd up. I mean, I think that would be great. I would say Deny Dennis Sutton would easily be one of the funniest to mic up on the Penn State football team. He screams, like, constantly, like, on his way to the quarterback. He says that's how you generate the most power is when you're letting out. I mean, it's true. When you're at, the top of a bench press, you know, you're supposed to breathe out. It's the same thing. But he says when he runs, he grunts off the ball. So if you ever hear Deny coming in on a stunt, when I was at guard, I would hear, and I would know that Deny was coming inside. So I would be kind of ready for it. But there's certain guys, I'd have to think about some other people. But I think Catron Allen would be kind of funny. Probably have to bleep out a lot of the words of Catron Allen, believe it or not. But he could talk some trash, which I love. He's my favorite runner ever. But, Jim, we got to get into something you sent me. I'll let you get into it. But we want to need to talk about these party schools versus how good you are at athletics.
Let's get right to it. Penn State has traditionally always had the reputation of being a party school. You know that, Landon, right?
Of course.
It's a long-known history. I sent you, I think it was Barstool Sports. They put out a graph. On the one side, the x-axis was how good you are athletically, the y-axis was how much of a party school you are. So you want to be in the upper right quadrant to be a great athletic school and a great party school.
Yeah. I'll list off a couple of teams that are in the top right that are both. We got like Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, UCLA, Texas, Florida State, Penn State's, you know, around there, Tennessee. Get over to the best, just athletic, but aren't good party schools. You're talking Notre Dame, Duke, Villanova, Stanford. Schools that are just bad at both. I guess you don't want to attend these schools. Maybe if you want your kid to not party and have bad sports team, send him to these schools. You got like Xavier, ODU, Georgia Tech is kind of surprising. We got Central Michigan, Kent State. And then schools, they just party. We got Ohio, ECU, Tulane, that's a very well-known one, Arizona State. So those are we saw that. We figured that'd be something fun to share. But you can check that out on Barstool's social media pages. But we figured that'd be something fun to share. Penn State is in the realm of great sports and great partying, Jim.
And that's been a long-held history. And I love one of my best friends when I lived in Philadelphia, he was from Wisconsin, but he had to choose a school. He chose Arizona State. He said, weather and party. I'll tell you what, that is the way to go when you're picking out a school. In hindsight, not a bad choice at all. Landon, as always, this was a real fun episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you'll tune in every week to Landon and Jim versus the World. And we'll see you next time.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.